Let's read together Psalms 82 and 83. In Psalm 82, we see that God holds judges responsible for their court decisions. And in Psalm 83, we see that God will judge all the nations that come against Israel. Let's begin by reading Psalm 82. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 82. Here we have another psalm of Asaph, as we can see from the title. The subject of this psalm concerns the unrighteous judges in Israel. This is the same subject that we had in Psalm 58, which was written by David. In verse 1, God is seen as standing in the midst of the rulers of Israel and judging them for their unrighteous rulings in Israel. Now, in most translations, these rulers are referred to as gods, small g. In verse 1, he judges among the gods. And in verse 6, I said, you are gods. This is the Hebrew word Elohim, and it can be translated God, capital G, as it is in the first part of verse 1, God stands in the congregation of the mighty, or it can be translated gods, plural, with a small g, meaning rulers or judges, as in the last part of verse 1 and verse 6. The fact that this same Hebrew word is used for God and rulers emphasizes the truth that the rulers in Israel were God's representatives and were responsible to judge righteously as God is righteous. Based on Romans chapter 13, which teaches that all governing authorities are ordained of God, the responsibility of the rulers in Israel can certainly be extended in application to all rulers and judges in this world. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 82. Judges are expected to rule with justice. Judges are expected to rule with justice. Notice in verses 2 through 5 some characteristics of unfair and unrighteous judgments. Number 1, showing favor to the wicked over the righteous for whatever reason. Verse 2. Number 2, ignoring the righteous claims of the lower ranks of society. Verse 3. Number 3, allowing the poor and needy to be taken advantage of by the wicked. Verse 4. And number 4, not understanding that law and order and fair judgment are foundational for a nation. Verse 5. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. Unfortunately, too often we see these same negatives taking place in our own country. In verses 6 and 7, the Lord said that because these rulers in Israel had misrepresented him, they would be removed. They had been put in the high position as gods to represent the Lord and rule righteously, but they had failed. And now they would be brought down and die like every other class of men. Verses 6 and 7, once again, I said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Judges are expected to rule with justice. Now, just before we go to the practical application for Psalm 82, we should mention that the Lord quoted verse 6 of this psalm to the scribes and Pharisees in John 10, verse 34, when they accused him of blasphemy for saying that he was the Son of God. I'm reading John chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said," and here's the quote from Psalm 82, "I said, you are gods." John 10, 34. The Lord's point was that even from their wrong position of not accepting him as the Son of God, it couldn't be blasphemy because human rulers were called gods in Psalm 82. Let's move now to our practical application for Psalm 82. It's not too late to pray verse 8. It's not too late to pray verse 8. In verse 8 of Psalm 82, Asaph called on God, the righteous judge, to arise and judge all the earth. Not just Israel, but all the earth. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. That prayer is not yet fully answered, but it will be when the Lord returns. We read in John chapter 5, verse 22, that the Father has given all judgment unto the Son. The final judgments await the Lord's return, culminating in the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20, after the time of our Lord's kingdom here on this earth. In the end, righteousness will reign supreme, but this is still in the future. So verse 8 is still a proper prayer for today. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. It's not too late to pray verse 8. Let's continue reading the first 12 verses of Psalm 83. In this psalm, we see that God will judge all nations that come against Israel. Psalm 83, beginning with verse 1. Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites, Gebel, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria has also joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot, Selah. Deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera, as with Jabin at the brook of Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became as refuse on the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeeb. Yes, all the princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 83. Psalm 83 is the last of the Psalms of Asaph. Remember, Asaph wrote 12 Psalms, Psalm 50 and Psalms 73 through 83. In this psalm, Asaph calls on the Lord for deliverance as Israel is surrounded by enemies on all sides, verses 1 through 8. Now, the historical occasion for this psalm is not known for sure, but there is a good possibility that it is the time during the reign of King Jehoshaphat of Judah when a coalition of enemy nations, including Moab, and Ammon, and Edom, and Syria, and others, came against Judah as recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In fact, there is the mention of the sons of Asaph in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 14. Assuming this is the occasion of Psalm 83, Asaph calls on the Lord to deliver Judah as in the days of the judges, when the Lord miraculously delivered Israel at the time of Deborah and Barak and Gideon, verses 9 through 12. Read the accounts in Judges chapters 4 through 7. Now, all that Asaph prayed in verses 13 through 18 as to the defeat and humiliation of the enemy coalition was fulfilled, as we read in verses 22 through 24 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm reading 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 22 through 24. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 22 through 24. Now, having shown the likely historical occasion for Psalm 83, We believe Psalm 83 is prophetic of events still to come in the future. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 83. Nations that gang up against Israel will be defeated. Nations that gang up against Israel will be defeated. We know from the prophetic scriptures, such as Daniel chapters 9 and 11, and Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, and Zechariah chapters 12 through 14, and many other prophetic scriptures, that in the end times, the restored nation of Judah will be attacked by a coalition of foreign powers. I'm reading Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 3. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. And Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2. We believe that Psalm 83 prophetically looks forward to that end time situation. In fact, it could be that many of the ancient powers mentioned here in Psalm 83 will be revived. At least those ancient territories will be occupied by Israel's enemies. Ancient Assyria, for example, is modern-day Iraq. But just as the coalition of enemy forces was miraculously defeated in Jehoshaphat's day, so the Lord will miraculously intervene in the end times and deliver the godly remnant of restored Israel. As in the past, so in the future, nations that gang up against Israel will be defeated. Let's move now to our practical application for Psalm 83. Let's pray for more than the defeat of our enemies. Let's pray for more than the defeat of our enemies. Asaph prayed in no uncertain terms for the defeat of the enemies of Israel. Verses 13 through 15. O my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, as the fire burns the woods, and as the flame sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your tempest, and frighten them with your storm. But notice now in verses 16 through 18 that Asaph's prayer for defeat of the enemies was not so that Israel could gloat or reap the spoils of war, but so that the enemies could seek the Lord. Verse 16, fill their faces with shame that they may seek your name, O Lord, and come to know the Lord as the Most High over all the earth. Verses 17 and 18, let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know that you, whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. We too should pray for more than the defeat of our enemies, whether it be enemies of our nation or folks who may hate us as Christians for no other reason than we are Christians and stand for the truth and moral standards of the Bible. It's right for believers to pray for the defeat of those who hold ungodly and unbiblical positions. But like Asaph, let's pray for more than the defeat of our enemies.